Think about, how tech giants operate today. They don't just sell you a smartphone and then, well, walk away.
Right, they definitely don't do that.
No, exactly. They build this entire walled garden, right? An entire ecosystem. They want you totally locked into their software, subscribing to their specific streams, and engaging exclusively on their proprietary platforms.
Yeah, they want you living in their house.
Literally.
Yeah.
So welcome to today's daily briefing from Seoul, where we are taking a deep dive into the source material behind Korean Entertainment's, frankly, very aggressive global expansion.
And Korean Entertainment is actually applying that exact tech playbook to global pop culture right now.
I mean, it's fascinating to watch.
It really is. Our sources today reveal an industry that is moving so far beyond just, exporting catchy music or hit shows. They are actively constructing a complete ecosystem across three distinct fronts.
And those are live touring, streaming exclusive prestige, and closed platform variety formats, right?
Exactly. You've got it.
So we see the physical side of this ecosystem kicking off with the boy band ONIUS.
Right, the live touring aspect.
Yeah, exactly. They just announced their 2026 Full Moon World Tour, and they're starting that in Seoul on October 24th and 25th.
And then they're heading out from there, right?
Yeah, they're slated for South America, North America, Europe, and Asia. It's a massive rollout.
It is massive. And the critical context here, the reason this really matters, is that this is their first global tour since moving to a new agency.
Oh, right. B-Wave Entertainment back in February.
Right. And in the K-pop industry, changing agencies is, well, it's notoriously risky.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, historically, it means potentially losing your group name or your back catalog of music.
Yeah, or even just losing the massive staff required to function globally.
Exactly. So launching a world tour of this scale immediately after an agency move is basically a massive flex.
It really is a flex.
I mean, it proves they still have the legal rights and the financial war chest to operate at an international level, like a tech company doing a huge product relaunch.
Precisely. It secures the foundation. It basically proves to the fans, who are the core consumers, that the hardware is still intact and fully operational.
The hardware is good to go.
Right. But the strategy shifts entirely when we look at how the industry is capturing attention on screens.
Right, which brings us to the digital side of things.
Yeah.
And that shift was, fully on display at the 5th Blue Dragon Series Awards on July 31st.
Yeah, the streaming awards.
Exactly. Since this ceremony was specifically spun off to isolate television and streaming from traditional film, it's incredibly telling to see streamers just absolutely steamroll the competition.
Oh, totally. I mean, you had Kim Go-eun winning the grand prize.
Yep, huge win.
And then the legend of Kitchen Soldier took top drama.
Right.
And Park Hae-soo won Best Actor for ENA's The Scarecrow.
Oh, and don't forget, Netflix secured Best Entertainment Program for Better Late Than Single.
Right. Netflix got in there too. So the hardware, to borrow your earlier metaphor, is no longer the traditional movie theater or network broadcast.
No, it's the streaming platform itself.
Exactly. And the way prestige is calculated within these platforms, well, that's changing too.
How so?
So the Blue Dragon scoring system relies on a 6-person expert panel, right? But it also allocates 1/7 of the final score to fan voting.
Wait, really? A whole 7th?
Yeah, a full 7th of the score is just fan votes.
Which fundamentally changes the definition of a prestige award, doesn't it? I mean, it's not just a handful of critics in an ivory tower dictating what has artistic merit anymore.
No, not at all.
It acknowledges that in a streaming ecosystem, mobilizing a digital fandom is like an equally vital metric of success.
That is exactly the point. And if fan mobilization is powerful enough to sway major prestige awards, well, it makes perfect sense that entertainment companies want to capture that.
Right. They want to own that energy.
Exactly. They are building proprietary platforms to capture and monetize that specific fan energy. Which brings us to our last story.
CJ ENM's app, Mnet Plus.
Right. And the July 31st release of their show, Sumpakokajil 2.
Okay, so the format here is really wild. They are stranding K-pop idols, starting with the artist Cordis, in season 2 in abandoned locations.
Yeah, like abandoned factories and stuff.
Right, and it's for this intense horror survival game. And the clock for the game is set to exactly 4,444 seconds.
Which is such a brilliant cultural detail.
It really is.
Okay.
Because in both Korean and Chinese cultures, the number 4 is a homophone for the word death.
Yeah, it's very similar to how the number 13 is treated in the West.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It instantly sets this psychological horror tone right from the jump.
It does. And it is genuinely pushing the boundaries of what idol variety shows can be.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Because by blending high-stakes Korean horror rules with these big K-pop personalities, they're doing something totally new. And they're translating it into multiple languages. Korean, obviously, but also English, Japanese, Chinese, Indonesian.
Right, so it's globally accessible.
Exactly. They are creating a highly innovative, premium horror experience for a global audience.
I mean, I hear you, but I'm not totally convinced it's actually about pushing creative boundaries and the horror genre.
No, why not?
To me, it feels like a fairly cynical, ingeniously branded escape room.
Okay, I can see that.
Because look at the platform strategy. The first season was literally the biggest driver of new subscriptions for MedNet Plus.
That is true. It brought in a ton of users.
Right. So they're taking this highly engaged global fandom and basically locking them inside a walled garden.
The walled garden again.
Exactly. Oh. The pitch is basically, hey, you want to see your favorite idol survive this crazy horror game? You have to download our specific app, give us your data, and live inside our ecosystem.
Well, you're absolutely right that it's a platform-first data strategy, but I would argue the innovation of the format is what makes the trap work, you know?
The cheese in the mousetrap.
Right. The content has to be unique enough and high quality enough to convince fans to actually leave YouTube or Netflix and enter that proprietary space.
That's a fair point. If the content was bad, no one would download the app.
Exactly. Ultimately, the blueprint we're seeing today is about total control.
Right, across all three channels.
Yeah. You have outward bound tours to secure the physical global base. You dominate streaming prestige on the narrative. And finally, you funnel all those engaged fans into private app native worlds.
Which really leaves you with something huge to consider as a listener.
Yeah, it's a big shift.
Because as the Korean entertainment machine gets better and better at building these incredibly tailored, highly monetized, digital walled gardens, what happens to pop culture at large?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. Are we going to see the end of the global crossover mega hit that everyone shares, replaced entirely by closed ecosystems where only the VIP subscribers are even invited inside? Something to think about.